This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Optimal Relationships Daily, episode 2141, Beyond the Allowance, Raising a Frugal Kid, by Shannon McClay with frugalwoods.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our parenting leg of the week here on ORD. I'm Greg Audino, happy to be here with you once again, and this time to share an article for the parents out there. And we'll be hearing from frugalwoods.com, which is a site that's more regularly featured on our finance show, Optimal Finance Daily. But in this case, parenting and finance come together as we seek to learn about how we can raise frugal children. So let's get into the article now and optimize your life. Beyond the Allowance, Raising a Frugal Kid, by Shannon McClay with frugalwoods.com. I love my son more than life itself. However, he was one of those kids who truly embraced the terrible twos and then aged right into the trying threes. He challenged every last decision we made for him, except his clothing choices. Miraculously, he did not have an opinion on his outfits. He is my first and only child, and as most parents know, there is no handbook for making the best parenting decisions. And rather than read books about his behavior, I chose to take the organic approach and go with what felt best to me. Not surprisingly, what felt best to me was that I was always right and he was always wrong. And I knew that every pushback was a battle, and the only way I could prove my superiority was to win each battle. Fortunately, my husband was, has been, and always will be on the same wavelength as me as far as winning battles at home. So we had multiple dinners that ended with all of us crying at the table. I was never embarrassed to leave Target when my son was acting up about something he wanted, and when I made a threat about a punishment. I always carried through on it, including throwing a new toy down the garbage chute at our apartment building. It was not one of my finest moments, but I was determined to win each and every battle at all costs. The good news and silver lining to all of this home drama was that it paid off. Once my son crossed over to 4, the painful lessons he learned through each family battle started to sink in, and he began to understand who was in charge at home. Little did I know that these battles would present the perfect training grounds for teaching him about good money habits. You see, in training my son to understand that I was in charge, I was learning the value of patience in educating him. Even though we had the same dinner battle every night for 740 nights straight, he didn't start to learn until night 741, and I developed the patience to wait 740 nights until he did learn. I employ this same patience with our money lessons. Surprisingly, he is much more receptive to money conversations than he ever was to eating his chicken, but I still have to remain consistent in what I am teaching him. When Will turned 5, we started having money talks with him. As he received cash gifts from family and friends, we decided to let him use the cash as he wished. We kept his cash in a plastic sandwich baggie and allowed him to make his own choices. This led to a disastrous fail on his part of spending every last dollar. He was devastated to realize he had nothing. And I was excited for the teaching opportunity presented to me to help him learn about making smart money choices and saving versus spending. A year later, his baggie grew to all-time highs, and he was so proud of himself that he celebrated by spending more of his money, which led to another great teaching opportunity that I took advantage of, and we spoke about earning more money and selling some of his toys on eBay. Another year has gone by, and we are now discussing investing some of the baggy money in a UGMA account, where we will allow him to pick the stocks he invests in, and we will review his account with him quarterly, just as I would with my clients. As I tell many people, my son is the most financially fit person I know, and it fills me with great pride to watch him make money choices and have in-depth conversations with me about his money. However, it has taken a great amount of teaching and patience from my husband and me to get him to this point, just as he now eats everything that is put in front of him for dinner after 740 nights of fighting. He now makes informed money choices after 740 days of money talks. We cannot expect our children to understand money or make smart money choices if we only talk to them about it on holidays or every other weekend, just as we cannot discipline them and teach them proper manners if we only do it every so often. You need to make money talks a central theme in your home and look for opportunities all the time to teach a new money lesson. Our neighbor drove a new car to the bus stop a few weeks ago, and I shared with Will that we would never drive a car like that. He asked why, and I plainly ran through the numbers with him and explained that we could travel to Italy multiple times for that one car, and asked if he would prefer Italy or the car. Not surprisingly, he chose Italy. We have been speaking about money with Will for 3 years now, so this subject is far from taboo, and I think that it is healthy for him and for us. As he ages, we include him in more family finance decisions and ask for his opinion. And this not only helps him with his own money choices, but he learns how we make them as well. Our conversations have evolved as he has, because we've made it a habit in our home to continuously teach him good money skills, just as we made it a habit to teach him good manners. You just listened to the post titled, Beyond the Allowance, Raising a Frugal Kid, by Shannon McClay with frugalwoods.com. And I'll be back with my commentary in just a sec.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, and thank you to Shannon for offering her take today. A lot of important messages delivered about how to talk to our kids about money. Obviously, it's great to lead with these lessons in financial responsibility, as she's pitched today. But I would also encourage parents to think about the other side of the coin, too. Most financially savvy adults are still well aware of at least occasional urges to spend outside the budget, be it on something spontaneous or something that we've wanted for a while. So, it's important to talk to kids about this side of the coin as well. We can speak to them about this very human side of spending too, so that a sense of balance is instilled, better enabling them to not suppress any random spending urges they might get. Because if these feelings are completely bottled up, like any other bottled up feeling, there's risk of overindulgence down the road. So while financial literacy is a wonderful concept to teach kids, even as young as Shannon's son is, we also don't want to teach it so aggressively that kids don't feel as though they're allowed to have choices, allowed to be imperfect with their spending from time to time, or make irresponsible purchases once in a while. So making room for moderation and exceptions, as always, is my take for today. And with that, I thank you so much for tuning in as we wrap up another episode. I hope you enjoyed this one, parents, and if so, do come back tomorrow for another parenting post. That's where your optimal life awaits.